When I look at the book of Luke chapter 10, this is one of those, this is a really fun story in a way, because it's, I grew up with five brothers and sisters, and we got along splendidly back when we were young. We used to fight, but with love, you know, and steal each other's stuff, but we loved each other. We had a great time growing up. We were semi-famous in the school system because, you know, when you have an older brother, the teacher's been around forever. She's like, hey, you're Kim's brother. She was a great student, and therefore you're going to be a great student, right? They could trick you into being obedient, you know, and good. And you didn't want to mess up the family name until it... So we were all academically gifted because we worked hard at it. And, of course, we had wonderful teachers in Cecil County Public School System. Am I pandering too much to you there, Joyce? But thank you. And my friend Sue, yes, because you're all wonderful and you know it. Then you got to my younger brother who just flirted with the rules and did not want to study. He's the smartest one of them all, you know. So here we have these two sisters. And we've met them before, Mary and Martha. And in Luke chapter 10, we know Jesus has come down from the mountain of transfiguration. And the first thing he sees is a fight between his disciples and the people of the village. And so he comes down and they're fighting because they can't heal the boy with the epilepsy. He's rolling around, he's throwing himself in the fire, and he's possessed by demons, and they can't do anything because it's worked for him before. And like, why doesn't it work now? And Jesus says, it's because you haven't prayed. You haven't prayed for it. You're just thinking you've got the gift. You don't. It comes from God. You have to pray and ask him for it. And ask him and you shall receive. And Jesus heals the boy, even though he's just been told by his father about his mission. You're going to go to Jerusalem now. And you're going to be hung on a cross. And it's going to be painful. And everyone's going to leave you. And I'm going to leave you. Everyone's going to forsake you. And then you'll rise again. And Jesus tries to tell his disciples this, but they don't really want to hear it. They're busy because then he sends out. This thing is growing, this Jesus movement. There's so many people surrounding him. When you watch the movies like The Chosen, I love that thing. But there's 12 disciples. But you read the book of Luke, there's 72. There's a big group. And they're moving as a big group. You can't miss them, right? 70 people walking down the street, plus all the helpers and everyone. And they're moving from town to town. Each and every day, Jesus is preaching. And then he's a little worn out. They've walked quite a way. They've walked from Mount Hermon down to near Jerusalem. It's a good 300 miles. Sorry. I got kilometers mixed up. It's a long way, and he's tired. And so he's looking for refuge. And he goes into the town of Bethany. And Luke doesn't tell us it's the town of Bethany, but we know in the book of John, that's where Martha, Mary, and Lazarus live, right? And you got to wonder, why doesn't Luke, this is a trivia thing, why doesn't Luke tell us that they're in the town of Bethany? Luke was an eyewitness. He didn't write years later. He was with them. He met Mary and Martha, and maybe Lazarus is still around. He didn't want to give away where they were from because the heat's still on these Christians, this new sect, the way. They're still, he says, Mary and Martha lived in a town. John will tell you because John was 99 years old when he wrote the book of John. So everyone has probably passed by then and the heat's off these people, so don't tell them where they're from. They're just Mary and Martha. We know they're from the town of Bethany, about 2 miles away from Jerusalem. So after a long day, Jesus heads back to the house of Mary and Martha, and he's tired. And here's what it says. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, and she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to all the preparations that have to be made? She came to him and asked, Lord, I'm sorry, tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. He ends there. Next thing you know, he's moved on. He's in another part of town after this verse. Kind of left us hanging, didn't it? You all see that movie City Slickers with Billy Crystal? Right, Chuck? Remember that one? Remember Jack Palance was in the movie playing Curly something, the old wise cowboy. And there's this city slicker from New York City. I went to New York, did I tell you that yet?
Yeah. Times already, Phil.
So these city slickers, they go out to this dude ranch out and then ride horses and chase a real cattle drive. They meet this old time this cowboy who's very wise and kind of reserved, and Billy Crystal's character talks to him and about, you know, the meaning of life and whatnot. And the old man, Jack Palance, Curly, says there's only one thing you need. One thing. That's all you need. You got that one thing? Then you know what happens to Curly? He dies before he tells Billy Crystal what that one thing was. Jesus doesn't tell us what this thing is, does he, right here? We're going to find out what it is. Jesus tells us what it is. We have this in our families, don't we? There are some people that don't do a lot, and there's some that do more than others. And I'm a Martha. I'm a Martha and a half. I love cleaning. I love cooking. I love getting ready for guests. You know, if I had I don't have one yet, but one day I might get a cleaning person. And then I will clean before this person comes to make sure everything's right for them, right? Because the house is kind of gross sometimes because we live in it. We have cats and we live in it, and sometimes, you know, we keep the litter boxes clean, of course. We're not filthy, but we're not, hey, we clean it when we clean it, right? When we can't take it no more. The worst part of the day is in the morning in my house. The sun is coming up over, and it comes in all the windows, and you can see the dust. And so you got to pull the shades. You know, you know, it's like when your car's running bad. You turn the radio up loud so you don't hear it. It'll go away. Put a piece of tape over that check engine light. The engine's still there. I checked. No. But there's Martha. She's getting ready because there's 12 disciples there and maybe a few more guests. And people need something to eat. You can't go to the Quickie Mart and you can't Uber eat it. You got to make it, right? She had to prepare the food. And there's Jesus. He's wore out and he's tired. He's sitting there and he's talking with the disciples, and everyone should be gathered around because, you know, folks, Jesus knows it's only a couple more days. A couple more days, he's going to the cross. It's going to be over. Could you just stop for a second? Last week, we talked about Jesus sitting there up on the Mount of Olives there, and they're looking over across through the valley, Kidron Valley, and they can see the temple wall. And they can see that beautiful temple that's covered in limestone with gold all over. And they're looking at it and they're like, Jesus, isn't that thing beautiful? Jesus says it is. It's going to be torn down. It's going to be torn down one of these days. And it was. It doesn't matter. What matters is the time you have left with me. And so she says, don't you care that my sister's left me to do all the work? Tell her to help me. She pleads with Jesus, and Jesus does many times, doesn't he? He doesn't answer her plea or her prayer, does she? He says, no, it's not what you think you want, what you think is important. I'll tell you what's important. Mary knows. She's sitting at my feet. And you got to love when Jesus says the name twice. It's such a beautiful thing. Do we ever say that? I never say that to my wife, Amanda. Amanda. Oh, Karen. Karen. No, shook me off. Lol. It's nice when he says it. We see that when David is crying over his son Absalom. He weeps, Absalom, Absalom. We see Jesus at the Last Supper when he calls his friend Simon, Simon, Satan is going to sift you like wheat. We say the name twice and get their attention, don't we? It's a favorite word we know, isn't it? Our names. We love our names, don't we? Right, Phil? Phil. Phil. Uncomfortable he's feeling. Martha, Martha. You're worried. Nothing matters but what Mary. What are you worried about? Who likes to worry? Anyone? Who's my worriers? I'm a professional worrier. They should pay me. I worry, 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 and I get things done. I'm a fixer. I fix things that are broken, and I worry about things, and they always come out all right, you know, and I don't know why I worry. Jesus tells his disciples this when he's sitting on the The Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, he says, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life." He's talking to Martha. He's talking to me. He's talking to you. "Don't worry about what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body or what you will wear." I always worry about what I will wear. I love nice clothes. But isn't life not more than food? And the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet the Heavenly Father feeds them. Sure they do. They come to my back porch for food, right? Are you not much more valuable than those birds? Can any one of you add a single day to your life? Why do you worry about your clothes? Look at the flowers of the fields. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even King Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. That's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. How much more will we clothe you, ye of little faith? So don't worry, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the pagans, they run after these things, and your Heavenly Father knows what you need. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen to that? What are you worried about tomorrow, right? Today will get you. Don't worry about tomorrow. There's enough trouble today. Worry about these things. So what's the answer here? Martha's sort of dumbfounded. Before I get to that point, before I land this plane, I love the consistency of the Bible. And I look at the internet every day, and there's so many people telling you, you don't need the Bible. And then they have this other preacher, you got to have the Bible. And people say, you don't need to read the Bible, it's stupid. You know, it's not true. And when you read the story, and what here sounds crazy? It's not like Numbers 22, we got a talking donkey, right? It seems kind of strange, but the creator of the universe can make a talking donkey, or a snake that convinced a woman to eat an apple, right? These stories seem crazy, but they're not. The creator of everything can do anything. So we have, this story is not out of whack, and we see the character development. Martha, who wants things done properly, and Mary, who just wants to pray and worship at Jesus' feet. And so we see here, these two people in John chapter 11. Now Luke was written, say, 40 years after the death of Christ and his resurrection, but John was written in the year 99, where John's an old man in the city of Ephesus, and he's sitting there with his students, and he's telling them about the life of Jesus. And he talks about these two, Mary and Martha, the day that their brother Lazarus died. And he went to the town. And Martha's there. She's the first one there. She says, "Why didn't you save my son, my brother? Why didn't you come and heal him?" And Jesus says, "Don't you know I'm the life and I'm the resurrection?" She goes, "I know. I know that." And that's all you need to know then, Martha. Everything's good. Then Mary comes running out. And she says, "Why didn't you save my brother?" And Jesus doesn't say a thing. He just prays with her. He cries with her. He weeps with her. Then they raise the brother. He comes out, even after 4 days. See a couple chapters later in John where we see that Jesus is in the family home again. And John will tell you where they live. They live in Bethany. So 6 days before the Passover, Jesus has 6 days before he's taken to Calvary and crucified. And Jesus comes to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus has raised from the dead. And they're here at dinner, was giving in Jesus' honor. Martha served. How you like that? 50, 60 years separation. Martha's, they remember what Martha did. Isn't that neat? Between these, you see what I'm doing here? Connecting the dots. Between these two books that are separated by so many years. And there's Mary. You know, she wasn't doing nothing. What does she do, though? She does something wonderful. She takes a pint of pure nard, perfume, and she breaks the lid so it cannot be reused again. She pours it on Jesus' feet, and she wipes it with her hair. And in this house, it's filled with this beautiful fragrance. This sounds like Mary, doesn't it? This thing she would do, a year's worth of perfume, and she dumps it on Jesus. And I can imagine him going to the trial. Because you know, that perfume sticks to you, doesn't it? The good stuff. Like the Shalimar that my mom used to like. Not the Gina Tae body wash, you know, can't smell it 10 minutes later. You know, a couple days from now, you can still smell this Calvin Klein they wear. My wife goes, you smell good. Yeah, it was 3 days ago, you know? Still smells good, and it sticks on your clothes. It's the good stuff, right? But you see the character of the people. Martha worried about preparation. Mary is worshiping. What shall we do with this? What are we missing? See, we go right on to chapter 11, and Jesus says, one day he's in a certain place. It's a few days before the Passover again, and the disciples are talking to Jesus, and they said, how should we pray? And Jesus says, pray like this. And it's the prayer we pray every single Sunday without fail. He says, pray this. Say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive our sins, and as we forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. And that's all you need to say. That's all you need. That's pretty simple. It's too easy, isn't it? We want to make it hard. Not everyone can reach heaven. My friend Yaron Young will be there. He will be in the Father's arms. He's going. He didn't go to church his whole life. But he knows who he needs now, and he is accepting Jesus, and that's a good thing. Martha, what do you need? There's only one thing you need to do, Martha. You need to pray. That's it. You need to pray. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you. There's many things to do, and this week we will be busy. A few days of work, but then preparation for a beautiful holiday where we gather with those that we love, and we prepare a house. We prepare way too much food. But we get to see one another, the ones we love, the ones we care about. And we know that there will be empty chairs. There are those who won't be there. But over the years, we've gathered new friends and new people come. And the house is filled with love and it is filled with joy. And yet we still grieve. But you tell us what's important. But you grieve for us. You grieved over Jerusalem and you wanted to hold that city in your arms like a chick holds her hens, and the people rejected you. And so you went to the cross and you went there alone, despised by Rome, despised by the teachers, abandoned by your friends, and forsaken by your Father. He turned his back on you so that all our sins would fall upon him. He went to Hades and he came back. The Father rolled away the stone. And the Son was resurrected. And we too will be resurrected one day. We know that's your promise, Lord. We accept you. You are the King of our hearts and you are the King of the world. Not us people, but it's your world. We pray that we are good stewards of all that you've given us. That we keep peace. That we keep sharing love. Sharing the compassion and mercy that you've shown us. Bless our Thanksgiving weekend. And bless us as we embark on this Advent season where we await the coming of your Son, when we celebrate his birth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we pray. And we all say, Amen.